He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, Taco Tuesday show, the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and CFA Barry Kite. Barry, yesterday my last message of the day to clients and subscribers was this NASDAQ is deeply oversold and is due for a big jump. I wasn't expecting this.
That's a bit. You know, yesterday the market's going up. You didn't have as much breath in the market.
No, it was
today,
all the
NASDAQ. Very broad based. Thankfully,
yeah, the NASDAQ was left behind yesterday. It was the Dow stocks. Not today. The NASDAQ's up almost 400 points right now. There was one sector in particular that I'm going to talk about today that was. I labeled this as the most deeply oversold sector in the entire market, and it today is bouncing the hardest. So, hey, I'm glad we didn't give in to panic attack number 72 during the 12-year bull.
Right.
The NASDAQ's up 392 to 15,614. I would say Omicron fears are fading. Dow is up 464 after a 250-point move yesterday. It's at 35,691. The S&P is up 84. That's a huge move, 4676, closing in on its all-time highs once again. Russell 2000 having a good day, up 2.5% today. And I said that crude oil was one of the most deeply oversold areas of the market. It's having a huge day. Crude is up 223, 71.72. Gold is ant. Silver is ant. Nothing there. The 10-year is behaving itself up just one basis point, 1.45. And even the Bitcoin folks are celebrating today, up 3,400, 51.689. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years in the business as a money manager, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. You know, Barry, it's not any easier for you and I to go through these sell-offs and scares in the market. I mean, they test our mettle.
They certainly do. Yeah, I mean,
I was grouchy, you know. My wife says, "You're grouchy." No, I'm just kidding.
Right, yeah. I just get lost in the work.
It's like, this is no fun. It's no fun watching this, okay? It's kind of gut-wrenching, in fact. But, you know, you have to deal with it in the market from time to time. And you have to kind of look at the numbers and the probabilities. I mean, in the end, we're kind of mathematician-based analysts. We rely on a lot of math and a lot of logic. And you say, well, the market basically has been going up for the last 12 years. It's had 72 different panic attacks, all 72. You know, if you would have reacted to any one of them, you'd have been wrong. Because the market went on to make new all-time highs. The biggest panic attack was COVID in the year 2000. And even, I mean, yeah, we did. We did some selling during COVID just to ease the pain a little bit. But then we went in with guns blazing in March of 2020, late March of 2020. We had a big panic attack earlier this year in February. That was a real panic attack, however. It was a massive rotation out of the transformational stocks that led the market last year and the work-from-home stocks that led the market last year, the Pelotons and the Zooms. It was a massive rotation at that time into value stocks and cyclical stocks. And, we did park there for a little while, but the main thing we did was transition out of what we made a lot of money in last year. And while others didn't, I mean, they continued to buy that stuff, but to each his own.
Well,
and now, Go ahead.
No, and I always try to think of my favorite, my economists don't have great jokes, but my favorite economist joke always, whenever I get panic or see, you know, read a bunch of bad print, it's always, economists have predicted 10 out of the last 3 recessions.
Yes.
Right? Because, they're always pessimistic. And so, they're always worried about a recession on the horizon. And so, they tend to, calling 10 out of the last 3 recessions is par for the course for them.
And of course, there's also, an actuarial. You know, they're not the most exciting guys around. You ever go to a party of actuarials?
But right.
Do you know why they always travel together on airplanes, 2 by 2 on airplanes? Because the odds of 2 actuarials going down on an airplane. That's just the way their minds think. And but
joint,
you know,
probability.
The bears are 0-for-72, reacting to every panic attack, and we have to ask ourselves each time as we're panicking, want to panic, is this going to be the one that finally brings the bull market 12 years to its knees and puts an end to it? There will be one that does that. And, on Friday, I sent out my last message of the day. I left out a word, but I clarified it. I caught it Sunday and clarified it. I left out the word not. I said, I do think this is, it is logical that this will bring about the end of the, Omicron will bring about. Then I clarified, I do not think. So, okay, and, so far so good, because Omicron seems to be kind of fading. It seems to be a nothing burger, using other terminology there, and fading into the woodwork. But it does create panic. We had a stiff sell-off, too, especially the sector that I called out yesterday to my clients and subscribers. I said the sector that has sold off the most and didn't deserve it is the software sector, the cybersecurity stocks. I have no idea why they were singled out, other than they had been the biggest winners, okay? A lot of times, if you've got big gains in an area of the market and a little panic comes along, the first thing to go are the big winners, the recent big winner. It's called profit-taking, locking in your profits. Now, here's something you got to really emphasize on a day like today with this massive comeback. If you sell and you miss days like this, which you've referred to many times, Barry, you sold at the low, and now you're going to have to buy back in at the high, and that's exactly the opposite of what you do not want to do.
Right. It's 2 decisions. You know,
it's
one's getting
exactly
out,
right.
And then really the hardest decision, it's easy to get out. The hardest decision is when to get back in reality, and especially from an investor psychology standpoint.
And I can attest to one truism riding through this thing over the last 2 decades in the market, that you're going to have to endure some pain along the way. There's my football coach used to say, guns, there's no gain without pain. I'm sweating and I'm breathing heavy. My muscles hurt going through 2-a-days, There's no gain without pain. Well, the market's the same way. I'm sorry. You have to go through pain. And there's going to be pain from time to time. But you have to step back. You have to look at the big picture. There's no secret that I can tell you other than I use earnings. Now, here's another factoid, okay? On Friday, I update my earnings estimates for this year and next year. Now, here's this fear of Omicron and the market's getting whacked. My estimates for 2023, not next year, but the year, actually went up by $2 a share. So if you're a guy that keys off of earnings and the earnings estimates just went up by $2 per share, that means the market is saying, this is going to have no impact on earnings, at least for now, with what we know on the market. And in fact, we're upping estimates. That was kind of the consensus that went up, and as did my estimates go up. So anyways, okay, well, here we go. Let's begin with what we're dealing with here today. We have just a huge, I mean, I did not expect this. When I went to bed last night, the NASDAQ futures were down 11. And when I woke up this morning, I looked at the NASDAQ futures, and they were up 300. I said, that can't be so. I had to go make sure that was right. And my eyeballs nearly popped out when I saw that. And as I look at the NASDAQ today, it's acting much differently than it has. The leaders in the NASDAQ over the last week have been American Airlines and kind of non-tech stocks. But look at the leaders today, Barry. Intel, Adobe, Lam Research, Applied Materials, ASM Lithography, tech. We'll be back with some tech and more tech and a lot of names today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Talks Now show. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Now, yesterday it was the travel-related stocks. It was Boeing. It was the cruise stocks that were leading the way. And it was obvious that, you know, the market was starting to really discount the impact that this new variant might have on the world, on the economy, etc. And today, obviously, it's totally a different story. They're doing well, too. The Dow stocks, Dow's up 543 points right now. But today you finally got the NASDAQ participating, which is has not for, yeah, I think the NASDAQ's taken about 2 weeks off, something like that. And now it's starting to roar back. Okay, there's two global, we always have to worry about global crisis. Because that could set off sell-offs in the market, wars and rumors of wars, right? And right now we have two big hot spots in the world today, and one is being one is on the front burner right now as President Biden is in a video conference with Putin of Russia. Would you like to be a fly on the wall there and watch that exchange?
Right.
And you know we're. Russia is mashing, massing troops on the Ukrainian border. Now remember that they went in and took Crimea, and we basically, you know, let them have it. We didn't really go in there and do anything. And this time we're threatening to sanction them. I guess I would ask the question: are sanctions going to stop Putin from doing what he wants to do? Will he take advantage, you know, right now and move in and take over Ukraine? Would we fight? Would we help? I don't know, but these are global conflicts that can impact a lot. You know, what other countries join in? What do we do? Now, that's hot spot number one, and that we'll find out, you know, what Putin's intentions are. Is he going to tell the truth? Well, we're just having war exercises on the border with Ukraine with 150,000 troops and tanks and everything else. It certainly doesn't look like war exercises to me. Okay, then we go to China. Yesterday, we announced a diplomatic boycott of the Winter Olympics in Beijing because of their human rights record in China. And China is going to take resolute countermeasures for that. And at the same time, you know, they continue to rattle their saber against Taiwan. We own a stock headquartered in Taiwan. Taiwan is basically the semiconductor capital of the world. So, you know, we have to watch. I have to read a lot in the morning, not just about the stock market, but also about events around the world. And then, of course, you've got Iran. And, you know, one thing I think that's different this time, Russia, China, Iran, they're allies with one another. I mean, they're doing joint exercises, especially Russia and China, you know, buzzing through the straits there with Taiwan, with Russian ships and Chinese ships. So this is something we need to keep our eye on. We need to keep our eye on China Evergrande as they draw up restructuring plans as their coupon grace period ends, okay? Now, we've kind of brushed that to the back burner, but, you know, Evergrande could. We always have to look at the possibilities out there of what we need to watch and be worried about. Could, you know, lead to a 2008-2009 type crisis in China. So, anyways.
Certainly. Yep. Something that's to keep. I mean, to me, that the debt crisis is, you know, if that triggers that in their country, to me, that's, you know, that's what they're trying to avoid. Of course, they're in a good spot to avoid that because they can kind of control the economy however they want to, I guess. But it's, you know, it's a, and, you know, Evergrande is not the only one. There, what we had, remember the Fantasia was another one. They have a handful of,
yeah,
of these, different, you know, loan structures that are, you know, vastly kind of hard for, or they haven't allowed really us to really know who those investors are. So it's hard to judge, what, you know, if there's some,
yep,
sense of potential contagion as well.
Yep. And, you know, we've learned from the past too, that, when countries desperate thing get into desperate, conditions, they'll reach out and do desperate things. I mean, we can look at some of the huge revolutions and whatnot in the past. So anyways, we've got to keep our eye on that. Okay, I always like other macro outlooks. Fund Strat, Tom Lee, he gets a lot of print. He's pretty much pretty much in our camp. His S&P 500 target for the end of the year is 4,800. And the S&P 500 is currently, what, at 47, 46, something like that. So he's expecting a new high by the end of the year. That would not surprise me. We're at 46.83. He's calling for 4,800. The earnings would definitely support that. He's also a big, where we differ, him and I, he says Bitcoin has exponential growth ahead of it. And, of course, there's a lot of others that call for that. Now, here's another one, a story that really caught my eye. This comes from the Halliburton CEO, who knows something about the global oil markets. He says the world is entering a period of oil scarcity. The world's underinvestment in fossil fuel development since 2014 is leading to an era of scarcity for the global markets. And this is an interesting comment he makes. For the first time in a long time, you're seeing buyers looking for barrels of oil as opposed to barrels of oils looking for buyers. And, you know, I've brought that up many times. It was, you know, when the oil prices went negative there during COVID and all those barrels were sitting out there and they're on ships and, you know, we had a glut. And the oil prices actually went negative. They'd pay you to come get it. And now we've gone, the pendulum has swung totally to the other side. Now you say, what impact would that have on the global economy if oil became scarce, fossil fuel, and oil prices went to $200 a barrel, which would please Putin? Oh, he would be pleased as a punch there over in Russia. But here you've got the Halliburton CEO. So we got three things we got to watch, Barry. You keep your eye on Putin and Ukraine. I'll keep my eye on Taiwan and China and what China is going to retaliate against us for boycotting. We're sending the athletes, but we're not sending any dignitaries. And lastly, now the Halliburton guy, we need to watch the price of oil because that could have a big, big impact. And, well, and think about investing. It seems to me, I mean, this is counterintuitive as we go towards away from fossil fuels, but investing in fossil fuel seems to make sense right now because it would seem that the prices are going to continue to go higher. And we do have exposure to fossil fuel stocks in our portfolios for the first time in a long time. Wait till we come back. What is it that could lower the risk of Alzheimer's disease, Barry? I'll have that for you in a bit when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, Pfizer spun off a company not too long ago called Viatris, VTRS. It hasn't done much, but a recently published study has linked the male impotence drug sildenafil, otherwise known as Viagra, with the prevention of slowing the progress of Alzheimer's disease, prompting scientists to call for further clinical trials to confirm the effect. Sildenafil has led to a substantial decline in the risk of developing the memory-robbing disease. That's really interesting that, you know, you would not think there would be any kind of a link there. And, you know, recently we invested in a little stock that had tied the gum disease and whatnot to memory loss and Alzheimer's. So they seem to be making some progress towards Alzheimer's. That's kind of one of the holy grails that they're trying to really figure out because of the market for that and a lot of money being poured into it. Let's hope they can find something. And right now they're kind of going down the track of Viagra, believe it or not. Okay, we do have a company getting bought out. This is one that we owned and we sold, Mimecast. It's not up very much. I mean, I don't regret selling it because this buyout, the stock is only up 6% today. Permira is buying Mimecast. That's a software stock and taking it private. There was a deal in the, how about Jack in the Box and Del Taco, Barry? You were mentioning that your kids like Del Taco.
They for some reason they liked it out, when we took them out to, out west. But yeah, I saw that yesterday. I mean, it was probably my favorite news story because most of the news yesterday would give you indigestion and this one, combining, you know, the indigestion forces of Jack in the Box and Del Taco. I think Del Taco was up, I don't know, 60% or so.
Yeah, it was up big. The biggest winner in the market yesterday was Del Taco, which I was making fun of when you made.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, for good reason. It is. Yeah. It's, you know, those are kind of, you know, Jack in the Box has certainly had its issues over the years. We all remember those, unfortunately. And
yeah,
so, you know, combining those two, I thought it was I didn't get a chuckle out of a lot of news yesterday. That was one of them that I did.
Yeah, Jack in the Box was actually started in San Diego, so I know a lot about Jack in the Box. I had a lot of friends that worked there, a lot of people that were executives at Jack in the Box. Have had many, many bonus Jacks in my life, which is their premium burger. I've had many of their tacos in my life. And they're going to combine with Del Taco in a deal worth $575 million. They just need to learn whatever they're doing at In-N-Out Burger
and
Chick-fil-A.
And Chick-fil-A.
Just copy those. Now, we had our church Christmas party this past Saturday, and they served Chick-fil-A breakfast sandwiches. That was the shortest line I was ever in at a Chick-fil-A was at our church party. Because the lines around here are constant. There's always a line. No matter what time you go by it, Chick-fil-A has a line. Okay, Rivian Automotive is called an EV winner by Bank of America with 60% upside potential. Now, this one makes me scratch my head. Okay, Rivian is currently a $106 billion company, $106 billion. And remember they were comparing that with Volkswagen? Volkswagen sold like 3 million cars last year, and Rivian sold like 13, and Rivian already has a massive market cap, way bigger than Volkswagen. And, of course, the quiet period is now off of Rivian, so you're going to start getting analyst estimates and target prices. So B of A is the first one to jump out on a limb. I say they're way out on a limb. Buy rating and a price objective of 170. The stock is currently at 116, and this news hasn't even moved the stock. It's down 0.4%. I think there's a lot of people like me that kind of scratch their head and say, how do you get to that market cap over the next 12 months based on sales and earnings and whatnot? But there you go, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, $170 price objective. Now, Intel is way up today. Intel, to me, is one of the worst semiconductor stocks in that entire sector. That's why I would rather own individual semiconductor stocks as opposed to the semiconductor ETF, because a big chunk of that is Intel. And here's the weirdness of the market. It's going to spin off Mobileye, which is an Israeli company that does software for autonomous driving. People forget they have short memories. Mobileye was a public company before Intel bought it. And Mobileye did not do very well. None of these LIDAR or autonomous driving stocks have done well at all. It almost seems to be a commodity. And Intel spinning off a company that really did poorly the first time around, why would it do any better in the second go around, other than people forgot that Mobileye was not a very good stock to begin with? But, you know what? At one time, they were considered the leader in technology, this Israeli company, for autonomous driving. And so they're going to spin it off. And, you know, the thought there is Mobileye is going to go to the moon as soon as Intel spins it off. And Intel's going to make a lot of money on this spin off.
It's financial engineering versus actual engineering.
But I'm not really on that train at all. Okay, now, another stock in the news today that we've talked about before is Donald Trump's stock, DWAC, Digital World, is up 11% today. You know, he's going to take on all of the platforms that kicked him off of their platforms, and going to have, and Rumble is taking off also today. And it's reported that, well, it's not reported, it's news now. Devin Nunes, from what I understand, he's a raisin farmer. That's his profession before becoming a congressman.
Yeah, in California, correct?
In the Sacramento area. You know, where that whole area of California is conservative, and you go west a little bit to San Francisco, it's like, you know, two different states. But he's going to become the CEO of DWAC, D-W-A-C, take over this company that the Truth Social Network or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that stock is up. Of course, that stock went to 175 from 10, and now it's back at 48. But this is a SPAC that came out. The SEC is investigating the action in the stock. And then the other one is DFCI. And my producer knows about this one. What's the symbol on that other one? He's not listening.
Oh,
there we go. CFVI.
CFVI.
And that is the conservative version of Rumble. It's rumbling today. It's up 11%. I did see the CEO of it this morning on TV, and he was talking about the growth that they've experienced already of people. It's the conservative version of YouTube.
Yep, and I saw
so
it this weekend.
On
I heard
Google.
Him speak. Right, I heard him speak this weekend, and he was talking, you know, just in terms of the additions that they've gotten since the announcement has been huge from, and I believe from, you know, all different areas of, you know, of the market in reality, because there's essentially whatever content, basically all the content that YouTube is not allowed.
Exactly.
Just, you know, in Twitter and,
yeah.
you know, and you
so
know,
it's
translate
up
that
11% in, so. Today on 14 times normal volume. Okay, the state of the bond market. Check this out. Dell Computer is offering you 3.375% on a 20-year note. You got to hold this thing for 20 years. It comes due in 2041. And they've also got a 2051 note, a 30-year note at 3.45. You think technology will pass Dell by in the next 30 years? I mean, that is really weird.
Yeah, they've passed Dell by at least a couple of times, and then Dell's
yeah.
reinvented themselves. Didn't they go private?
At one point they went private
and came back. That's the old, you know, some more financial engineering, right, from
yep.
that perspective. Of course, it's one of those things. It's been a great company over the years. As an investment, I'm not sure.
No. Okay. Then at one time, Michael Dell was kind of the guy on the. Okay, the other one I got to give kudos to. I discovered this when I wrote my book. Back in 2012, AutoZone has just been one of the best stocks of all time. AZO, it's hitting a new all-time high today. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, I've been in the business 21 years. This is one of the better days, probably one of the top 10 days I've ever had as a money manager. We're up 3.5% overall. That's pretty good. That's amongst all the portfolios that we manage. So, and there's some individual stocks that are just exploding. The NASDAQ's up 450. Which I said yesterday in my last message of the day, I said the NASDAQ is now it's the NASDAQ's turn. Yesterday it was the Dow's turn to recover. It was the weakest of all of the indexes as we went into the weekend. And I felt like it was deeply oversold, ready for a bounce. Now you've got a huge two-day bounce in the Dow. And, you know, the NASDAQ did not participate yesterday. The tech stocks did not participate. I said, I think that the next one to jump here is going to be the NASDAQ, and especially that Dow's at 539 right now, especially the software sector and some of the really oversold ones. And, boy, is that happening today. Unbelievable.
Well, when software was, yeah, I've kind of been shocked by some of this pullback in software because if you're going to have inflation, software, to me, is one of those areas that aren't as affected as much. You're not building a widget, right? You don't have inputs in terms of input cost, energy,
yeah.
You know, you don't even have that many, you know, developers in terms of an actual headcount. And if you saw today's productivity numbers that were very poor economically, you know, software, what's the big thing that's helped, you know, productivity numbers over the last 20, 30 years, right? It's technology. And so,
yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of the software stocks, there's a belief that a lot of them are linked to the work from home. Some of them are, like Zoom. But for the most part, you know, very few of them are linked to work from home, and that's why they were selling off on the Omicron news. And yesterday, because now the work from home thing doesn't seem to be playing out, and so they sold off again heavily yesterday. Now they are just roaring back. Okay, let me go with the stocks that are jumping off the page. Two of them are software stocks, and one is an energy stock. Well, this time of year, I mean, snow, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. The name of the company is Snowflake, Inc., and it was started by the same guy who started ServiceNow, which was one of the biggest winners of all time. That symbol is NOW, N-O-W. It's having a big day. Put an S in front of it, and you've got snow, S-N-O-W. And it is blasting off today. It's up $30 per share, 8.9% on 2.5 times normal volume for this time of day. And, you know, yesterday I said, I'm looking at a lot of, software stocks that are sitting, that are ready to really bounce. I said, you know, they got to kind of firm up a little bit. You may see some profit taking here from today's big moves, but they're forming that base. You know, they've been in a number four downtrend. Okay. I don't buy stocks in a downtrend. I got to see a little bit of a base sideways trend start to form to give me a little bit more confidence. I just don't buy, that's called the falling knife. I don't buy falling knives thinking that tomorrow it's going to reverse course. No, I wait for it to settle a little bit. I like stocks to settle. Maybe you could call that there's equilibrium between the buyers and the sellers, and you start to see sideways action in the stock. And that has been taking place in software and Snowflake over the last 1, 2, 3, 4 days. And now today it's just, and here's another thing. I watch those moving averages, and Snowflake has just been sitting on its 50-day moving average. And a lot of times stocks will launch big moves off of a moving average. I give you a perfect example. The Dow got right down to its 200-day moving average last Thursday. And, you know, if you're still bullish on the market, which I am, that's a launching pad, right? It's like a trampoline almost.
Right.
And I even like it when the Dow actually bent that. It went below that 200-day moving average by a skosh, and that even adds more bounce. In my opinion, this is just my observations over the year. Technical analysis is a big part of what I do on top of the, you know, the fundamental analysis that we do and the growth analysis that we do. But Snowflake is just exploding off its 50-day. You can look at the Dow. It's exploding off of its 200-day. And I want to say, I'm going to look it up right now. I want to say that the NASDAQ, yes, absolutely. Yesterday, the NASDAQ closed on its, or it went down to its 50-day moving average. Guess what? Trampoline effect. Bam. You don't know what day it's going to happen, but it is exploding off of its 50-day. And I'm going to say that you got to follow me on Twitter. I sent out all of these tweets yesterday. I said the S&P is sitting right on its 50-day moving average, and it's starting to bounce. That was in my Twitter feed yesterday, at Bill Gunderson. I'm on stock twits all day long. I don't know. I try to send out about a half a dozen of tweets a day. Those also feed into Twitter. And I said, I think you're going to see a bounce off of those moving averages. Okay, the other stock, I'm only going to have time for one more here. That I'm going to mention, I'm going to skip that other software stock, and I'm going to go to an oil stock, which we've mentioned before, Callon Petroleum, CPE. It's bouncing off of its 200-day moving average hard. That tells you how much that the Dow and the oil stocks came down, because they came down clear to their 200-day. That's the long-term moving average. The 50-day is the intermediate-term moving average, which is where most of the tech stocks were sitting. They've held up better through this sell-off. But now you've got these oil stocks bouncing off their 200-day, and you've got the CEO of Halliburton say oil is going to become scarce in the coming years. That, to me, just put two and two together, a little bit of logic, and I would look for some of the better oil stocks. The highest-ranked stocks, you can go into my app, and you can click on the energy sector, and you'll see the top-ranked stocks within the energy sector. Man, we covered a lot. Today is definitely more fun than yesterday. My wife says, why are you in such a good mood today? I just sent her a snapshot of how much we're up today. She just replied, wow, it's a big day. Anyways, all right, if you'd like to talk to us, if you panicked and sold and you're managing your own money and you've done it 36 out of the last 72 panic attacks, you need to talk to us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And we're not permabulls. Oh, no, there will be the real panic attack at some point in time. And if you'd like to get the newsletter, what we had to say about the market last Friday, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
The This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.